party people, we obviously mean sleep-deprived parents, better known as the Never Nation. I am your host, Jody Sweeten, and I'm joined by my favorite sleep-deprived parent, Celia Behar.
I am sleep-deprived, like badly this week.
I'm just a spaz, but that's kind of an everyday thing, but there's varying levels of spaz.
Well, right. And it's Monday, and we know that with Mondays comes the level of spaz, but I was away this weekend, so I didn't sleep well.
Oh, yeah. How was your weekend?
It was really fun. We were.
Did you guys go again?
Solving.
Oh, I
which
love solving.
I have not been
I
before.
Eat my way through their pastries.
That's what we did.
Able skeevers.
I don't know what the fuck that is.
You didn't have an able skeever?
Maybe I did. What is it?
They're like fried donut doughy things.
Oh yeah, we did.
Sugar
yes,
and,
we did.
Like,
we had
berry jam.
Yeah, yeah. We had that. Okay. Those were really good. I didn't realize that's what they were called. We had pancakes. Yeah. We had.
No,
Danish.
See, I can remember able skeevers, but I can't remember my own zip code of gas.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Mm-hmm. A Danish sausage and pancakes, and we went out to dinner and had like charcuterie and stuff like that. It was
we
had a good
great
time.
Restaurants up there.
Yeah, there are, and of course we had to get pea soup because it's like famous
pea soup.
Yeah, that's right. We went to Anderson's. Dustin has been gunning for that since we drove to Napa a while back, and kept being like, "Famous pea soup, we have to get it." And I was like, "I don't want it." He's like, "Come
on."
Oh
my god, Anderson's is. I love soup.
Well, he kept being like, "It's split pea soup and it has ham. Like, don't you want that?" And I was like, I'm Jewish. I've never had that. Like, growing up, you don't have split as a Jew who's conservative. Split pea soup with ham's not a thing.
Well, I figured as much.
So, but we did get some, though no ham in it.
Did you go to the ostrich and emu farm on the way in?
We did not, but we did drive by it because our hotel was right outside of Solving. And every single time, we would just be like, look at them. Fucking ostriches.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, those things are terrifying.
They are. Yeah, they are.
I took the girls there and we were like feeding them or whatever.
No, I don't want to do that though.
Oh, yeah. No, you feed them and they're like, you're like, holy shit. And they're like kind of aggressive.
Yeah, they're kind of dicks.
Like, peck at your shirt and
stuff.
It was great.
I'm not a big fan of birds in general. There's like very few that I can tolerate. So
a
big fucking bird.
Fly.
Yes, it's a big fucking bird. It's a big pecky, beaky fucking bird.
Gigantic dinosaur bird is what it is.
It's a
rip you to shreds with its feet.
It's a beaky motherfucker. That's what it is. And I'm not interested in that beaky motherfucker fucking with me. That's all.
Wow.
I can't do it. But I didn't sleep really well. Hotel. I also had my period because, you know, whenever you go away, that's
like,
what happens.
Away for a romantic vacation.
Nope.
And
end scene.
I'm just going to shove food.
Yeah, so we just ate a lot. It was fun. I don't drink very often, so we hadn't eaten very much on Friday night, and we went out, we had some wine, and I had a beer. I was totally drunk. Like, just drunk and knew it. I guess I was kind of quiet about it. And then we went to go get the whatever the fuck you just said, donuts, those. And we went to this bar that served them, like served food. And we sat in a place where they were like, oh, if you sit here, you have to be the DJ, which I was like, woohoo. And it was all vinyl. So I was just picking different records handing our, and they were like, cool. And like, you know, just doing a bunch of fun, you know, songs, whatever, most 70s stuff. And then at some point, I guess, you know, when we first got there, he was like, well, do you want a cocktail? And of course, because I'm drunk at this point, I'm like, sure.
Of course, right.
Why not? And so he orders a cocktail. And at one point, he didn't tell me this until yesterday, because I was like, I was drunk on Friday, huh? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, shit, I'm sorry. And he was like, I love you. And I was like, great. And then he goes, yeah, by the way, you didn't drink your last cocktail? And I was like, I didn't. He's like, no, I switched them. Because at one point, I guess I turned around and I was like, wow, I had that much of the old fashioned. He was like, yes. He was like, no, I realized that you were totally drunk. And I was like, well, she can't drink this. So he switched them.
I'm always the bad influence friend where I'm like, let's just see where this goes. You have enough? No, I just am like one more. Okay, I got you. I'm driving. It's fine. Let's just see where this experiment
Nice.
Goes.
Nice. Well, I'm glad I wasn't with you. But apparently I was like.
Because I basically just want to do it and then video record you. That's it. I just need you Hasselhoff style eating a burger on the floor. Like, that's just.
Honestly, I think there may have been like potato chips later on. I don't totally remember. I just know I woke up at like 3 a.m. and was like, oh, I think I was drunk. Like,
I don't. That's nice.
But I wasn't hungover. So that was something. Yeah.
Well, I went to the theater last night. I went with Andrea Barber and our friend Kim Moffat, who used to work on Fuller House.
I remember.
Mel Samuels was going to go too, but she was at home with her adorable baby, Emma. Oh my God, she sent a picture and I just want to eat the little baby's head.
But
not in a weird way, but like a cute way.
Right.
But yeah, we went to go see Anne, which was at the Pasadena Playhouse.
Okay.
Which, little known fact I didn't know, is the State of California Playhouse.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that either.
Designated in the 30s, 1937.
Well, that's nice.
Anyway. Random fact, but Holland Taylor.
Love her so much. Oh my gosh, love her so much.
She's amazing. And she wrote and starred in a one-woman show.
What?
About Ann Richards, who was the Democratic governor of Texas and was a fucking character.
Love.
She was sober. She'd been in AA. She swore all the time. She was very pro-choice, super liberal, and like was a fucking character. And she was amazing. And Holland, I guess, had known her through the years and finally decided to write this one-woman show with her as Ann Richards. And my God, she was absolutely amazing.
As she is always. God, always. I'm jealous. And it's awesome.
Knowing that she wrote it and everything, and like it was the last night of the show, and it was so great. And it was so fun to go back to live theater, you know?
Yeah.
It had been a while. So anyway, that was really fun. That was what I did. And then I went to the little premiere party that my friend Nicole Tom had for Worst Cooks.
God, people were texting me about you all last night. And I haven't watched it. And so I kept being like, can you stop it?
It's
I haven't watched it yet.
Really funny.
I'm sure it is. It was they said your expressions were hilarious. And then Rachel Lithgow, who wrote us both, was like, I can't stop laughing at Jody trying, just wanting to swear so badly on camera.
Oh, God. So many times. And I did, often.
And they had to beep you out, or I haven't seen it yet?
You know, it just sort of, I mean, they did, but it was, you know, it was fine. So today's show, we're working moms. But that doesn't mean that we don't see the moms who stay at home and the work that they do each and every day. And, you know, it's weird. Both of us, I think, kind of, we're like this hybrid version of like we work, but we also work often from home and we're home with our kids. But a lot of times when we're working, we can't necessarily do things. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Sort of a weird duality of like, I'm a working mom, but I'm also sometimes a stay-at-home mom when I'm off. But then...
Well, I really was officially like half and half when I first had Harper because I never... Well, I have two never thoughts. A, I never thought I'd want to be a stay-at-home mom, but I did after I had Harper. I would go to work every other day and then I'd be home with her every other day. Right. And then I started calling the days I went to my office, I was like, those are my days off. Cause like, holy shit, I didn't realize how fucking hard it was to stay at home. I also never thought that I'd be a parent to my husband once we had a child, which also happened officially, apparently. Right. Especially on my days off, which is what this article is basically kind of about that we're going to talk about.
Yes. Today's topic includes the duties of the stay-at-home mom or parent. Stay-at-home parent, we'll use that.
Yep.
And when to communicate that something is above your pay grade. And this is thanks to an article we saw in The Sun, which, you know, is often a source of dubious information, but this article, this article was at... Isn't this
true.
The one that had Bat Boy?
Yeah.
It is. I'm still looking for Bat Boy out there.
I'm in.
That's real fucking news.
I believe it.
Find him. Yep. I'm worried.
Fine.
He hasn't been seen or heard from in years.
It's weird.
Since I was a 10-year-old in the grocery store. I haven't seen him. I'm worried, you guys. We need to find Bat Boy.
He probably went into witness protection for some reason or another, you know?
But I mean, I feel like he'd be kind of obvious to see.
Wow. Maybe he's in disguise.
Was he the one that started COVID?
Ouch. Don't blame the Bat Boy. Aw.
Just saying. Okay.
It could be.
Anyway, I promise we'll stick on topic today.
No, we won't.
We actually tried to record that. We started off 7 times going like, okay, we ready now? Yeah. Oh my God, I meant to tell you. And like before we started the show, we were like, you guys, we need to corral ourselves. There's literally no one here driving the ship.
We're all just
rowing in different directions.
Like when you were on Beyond the Edge, that happened on your show, on the other show
it
that
did.
You're on.
It did. Yeah, I know. I'm just everywhere.
You really are fucking everywhere right now. It's true.
You know what? I'm so happy though. I'm busy and I'm
it's awesome.
I love and it's awesome. And I know I've gotten so much support from our Never Nation fans. So thank you guys for watching.
And me. And me. Just kidding.
Of course you. Beyond the Edge on CBS, which is on
Wednesdays. It's so good.
And then Worst Cooked Celebrity Edition, which is on Food Network on Sunday nights. And they're both really fun.
I haven't watched that one yet, but I will. And and we'll talk about more of this when we come back from break.
Yes, we will.
All right.
say beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but if you can't see it, there's nothing to behold. So thankfully, there are Felix Gray glasses, which will help you see clearly.
Yeah, I have been wearing prescription glasses for years and years and years and years and years. And this is my first pair of Felix Gray's best-in-class blue light lens. And these magical lenses help give me the clarity that I need to get through my day.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't even wear glasses, but I am definitely on my screen, on all screens, like 23 out of 24 hours in a day. And that can mean blurry vision, eye strain, headaches, all of that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm prone to migraines and neck tension, so all of that stuff does not help. But with my Felix Gray blue light glasses, there's only one thing I'm feeling, and that is relief.
Well, that is because their blue light lens filter 15 times more blue light than other leading blue light lenses. Plus, they relieve symptoms of digital eye strain, and that supports your visual well-being. And who doesn't need that these days? Because, yeah, we're all glued to screens.
Exactly. Well, 5 years ago, Felix Gray set out to revolutionize eyewear by designing a lens that would improve the effects of daily screen time.
And since then, Felix Gray has been on a mission to create a better relationship with technology. And because of this, they've developed a world-class blue light blocking lens that diminishes the irritating side effects of blue light, like tired eyes, headaches, and sleep disruptions.
So if you want 2022 to be the last time you ever suffer from the side effects of digital eye strain, start the new year off on the right foot with Felix Gray. Plus, they look super cute.
They really do. Regardless if you're looking for non-prescription or prescription glasses, Felix Gray has got you covered. And right now, Felix Gray is celebrating their 6th birthday. So you can get 15% off everything with code BIRTHDAY15.
Just use the promo code BIRTHDAY15 at checkout for 15% off everything. Check them out now, felixgrayglasses.com/say this. That's felixgray glasses.com/say this. Free shipping, free returns, free exchanges. felixgrayglasses.com/say this. Are back. So our producer Sabrina saw this article titled "My Husband Demanded I Pack His Suitcase as It's My Duty as a Stay-at-Home Mum." Now, as we can tell, that mum, they're British, which I think the son is a British, but maybe he's maybe Bad Boys in the UK.
Maybe.
Anyway, so she texted him.
You're just, the squirrels are back. Squirrels.
So many squirrels today, and they're all screaming and on fire. Okay. So Sabrina texted us the article about my husband demanding to have his suitcase packed. She said, "I definitely want to hear what you two have to say about this." So here we are. Obviously, the title is a little, you know, clickbaity.
Oh, yeah.
Again, it's the sun. That's okay.
It is.
But the question presented by this article is actually a really important one, which is, where does your responsibility as a stay-at-home parent end? And this is why we want to start with a little data celebrating the job of the stay-at-home parent, which I have to say, like, this is a full fucking time job. And you're working your ass off and being around little people all the time. It's a lot.
It's a lot. And you never feel like you make a dent in it. Right. That's what
Unless
I always found.
That mom that's like the door.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I
yeah.
watch her things just feel inept. Me. I just go, wow, look at what I can't do. No, I look at those videos with admiration. I'm like, you are such a scheduled, on time, on top of it person. I could never.
I could watch an episode of Cops and still feel inept, quite frankly, as a parent.
Why? Because you're afraid that
people that are getting arrested, you know, for doing like the dumbest shit as a parent on Cops. I'm like, I think I've done something dumber than that. So yeah, makes me feel like I should just, you know,
so great,
give up completely.
And again, stay-at-home moms,
no, she is
whether
amazing.
You're doing that kind of shit or whether you're just trying to get through the day with your kids.
Yeah.
Hats off to that, too. We want to start with a little, some facts here, because, you know, we do love facts on the show sometimes. A 2014 study found that the benefits of having a parent at home actually extend beyond the early years of a child's life. Now, the study measured the educational performance of 68,000 children. Researchers found an increase in school performance all the way to high school age children. However, the biggest educational impact was on kids ages 6 and 7.
I will say that as like I read that, I was like, well, that explains a lot about how poorly I did in school. Is there one other thing I can blame Bon Bon for? Because I can blame her for that. Because I was we were all such latchkey kids. Although I think my mom was around more when Lori was little because my parents were still married.
Right.
But by the time I was in middle school, they got divorced and then she was off doing, you know, trying to make a living. Like right. Nobody was home.
And it's always been so hard for me because I've been a working mom since my kids were little. Since B was a baby, I was working in treatment and then I started working on the show and so I'm always really torn because I read these things and all it does is sort of make me feel bad.
Yeah.
That as a single mom,
I've been working my butt off.
The option to mm-hmm. not work all the time. And, you know, there's obviously guilt about that, I think. And there's guilt about when you stay home and you're like, oh, what am I doing for myself? Like, there's just no way to win. So I say fuck it all.
Well, I agree with you. I think it's hard. It's hard to be a stay-at-home parent, not just because it's hard to do, but also because, you know, this country set up that we really do need two incomes more than not. So it's not always up to us, you know, and if you can make it work, that's awesome. But it's so often we can't make it work.
Rarely can you make a single income household work unless one of the people is making a ridiculous amount of money. And, you know, as a single parent or even a parent that's co-parenting, it's really, really hard.
It is.
If you are like me and you've had to, and Celia, and you've had to work and you've had to be out of the home, that's okay. That's totally okay too. Back to what we were talking about. And 60% of Americans believe that choice is best for children. The choice being stay-at-home parent. You know, I think we all agree. Like, of course.
Yeah, if I could, I would. Yes, of course.
But I actually also really like working.
I do too.
I like what I do.
Yep.
So the number of stay-at-home parents jumped from a low of 23% in 1999 to 29% in less than 15 years. So it's definitely seeing a resurgence. However, today's rates don't match those of the 1970s and earlier, when around 50% of women and very few men were stay-at-home parents.
Yeah.
So I think that really has an effect on the culture of parenting because I think our parents' generation is like, well, why don't you stay at home with your kids? Well, why? This is the problem. This is why this is happening.
Yeah.
And look, there may be some issues related to parents not being at home as much.
We don't have any choice.
We don't have a choice with income inequality and costs the way that they are. And also, once women were getting into the workplace, thank God they did, but it meant that there was a lot less women who stayed at home full time.
Right.
So it has definitely gone up and down through the years. But while the number of men taking on this role is far lower than that of women, around 210,000 compared with over 5.2 million women, the rate of men becoming stay-at-home dads is on an upswing. And between 2010 and 2014, the prevalence of men choosing to stay home increased by 37%. And I actually know a couple
That's
of dads
awesome.
That are stay-at-home dads. Their moms have or their wife has a busy corporate job or whatever, and they have been totally fine to stay at home with kids. And
I know a few too. Yep. It's awesome.
It's awesome. I think so much of that responsibility is often put on women, and it's great to see men and husbands and partners really stepping up and being like, yeah, I'm going to be a part of this too. Like, why should it just be all put on you? But all of the research that we looked up really affirms that for child rearing, your decision to stay at home with your child is a positive one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a stay-at-home parent, the work that you do with your kids is real and valid.
God, however, is it ever.
Yeah, it is. However, there's one area where staying at home does nothing for your child, and that's picking up the slack for your partner who works outside the house.
Yeah.
And I think that happens a lot with the stay-at-home parent. Even if you're both working and whoever was home that day, you know, you come home from work and you're like, oh, well, and I know I've done this before, and you're like, oh, well, you've been at home all day.
Right. What have you done?
And you're like, oh, fuck, I'm that asshole. You know, really recognizing that being at home is just as much, you have just as much burnout. So it's like, how do you meet in the middle? Because both people, whoever's working outside the house has been doing a lot. Whoever's been working in the house has been doing a lot. So you get home in the evening and both of you are like, you do it.
Yeah, you do it. Yeah. And I think that the expectation, based on what it used to be with, from the 70s and prior, was that, if you were a homemaker, that was your whole job was to take care of the kids, clean the house, make the dinners, make the meals, look after your husband, get his dry cleaning, do all that was Donna Reedy, happy days kind of stuff. And I think
if you do that, more power
all the power to you. If that's, and I know a couple, they are divorced now, but when they first got married, that was the deal. She was like, I don't want to work. I'll stay home and I'll do all the stuff, you know, with the kid. But she didn't know what she was signing on for. And so she got, you know, a year into that being a mom and was like, what? No, fuck this. This is hard. You do some of it.
Right.
You know, like it was, she was like, I can't do the dry cleaning, the cooking and get him back and forth to daycare and take care of it. Like right. It was too much.
And I will say this is also, this happens in same-sex parenting. All of that doesn't have to be necessarily the male absolutely. Female dynamic. It's just, you know, it's hard. I mean, and again, things that you don't find out about your partner or about the person that you had kids with.
Oh, yeah.
You have kids.
Yep.
And I always say this, like, parenting is probably the hardest thing that you will do in a relationship. Because you both come into it with different ideas and you're both like, this is my kid.
Yep.
This is how I want to do it. This is how I've always wanted to do it. This is how it should be. This is how my parents did it, or this is how my parents did it. So we're not going to do it that way. And you're constantly coming into conflict.
You are. And, you know? And I and frequently.
And then when the person is like, oh, no. By the way,
right.
Can you pack my suitcase?
No, fuck
and
that.
Like, and now you die.
I frequently tell clients that you'll never think about divorce as much as you do before your kid hits the age of two. And then usually you'll have another. And once, you know, and, right. And oh, more.
It's constant.
It's kind of after that. But, you know, you remember when I wrote that blog, the Dear Dads blog, that I got like crazy hate mail about, where I was like, when I agreed to have kids with you, I didn't agree to have you be one of them. And it gives a whole other, you know, meaning to the term baby daddy. I was like, that's not cool. Daddy. People got like mad at me. But it was what I was basically saying was like, you don't know what you're in for until you're married. And my sister and I used to joke all the time because she was, when she got divorced, she remembered one of her kids saying to her, like, are you guys getting divorced because of us? And she was like, no. And then she said to me, and she was like, I mean, but kind of. You know, and she's like,
it's not their fault.
It's not their fault, but it changes the dynamic.
Parenting changes the dynamic.
It does.
So on the Reddit forum, am I the asshole?
Love it.
The answer to that question for me is always yes. am I the asshole? One stay-at-home mom wanted to know if she was the asshole for telling her husband off for expecting her to prepare his bags. I feel that this requires one of our dramatic readings.
Oh, yay. Oh, I love a dramatic reading. Let's do it.
Okay, for the next few moments of the show, we will be reading from the Reddit forum and pretending to be her. Okay. So when we were referring to my and etc., obviously I'm not talking about my partner, Mescal, because he's actually really fucking awesome.
Yeah, he's great.
Okay. Should I do it in an English? No, I'm not going to do it in an English accent because she's obviously British, but I'm not going to do that because then you'd have to do it and then that would be all fucked up.
Oh, it's okay. Not going to come out as all British right. at all. So
my husband works full time while I'm a stay-at-home mom with three kids. He splits childcare 40-60, but lets me handle 100-100 of household chores from cleaning, cooking, vacuuming to shopping and whatnot, saying it's my duty in replacement of work hours.
We were okay with these arrangements, but days ago, his mom invited him to his sister's wedding. She didn't invite me because the wedding is allegedly child-free, but I guessed it was because of a fight we had 4 months ago over what school my eldest should attend.
Wow, this is a whole separate fucking layer.
Okay, yeah, it is.
I was not expecting this,
guys. We got in-laws and stuff going on. Oh, wow, fuck.
Fucking monstrous.
Buckle up.
Jesus, this is getting deep. Okay.
Once the family's involved, you're screwed.
Here's what she said. I was hurt since I love my sister-in-law. My husband said his mom is basically paying for the wedding and the list she had for the uninvited is longer than the one she had for the invited. He advised me not to get too worked up over it and just focus on the kids while he's gone.
What? But Jesus, what? Okay. The night before his flight, he asked that I put his things together and tossed me a list of what he needed. Wait, to go to the wedding that she's not invited to. Holy fuck it, my head's gonna explode. Hold on.
Buddy, I didn't know this was in here. This is a whole different.
I'm so fucking mad for her right now. I don't even know what to do with myself.
No, I'll tell you what. He tossed a list of what he needed. I would have thrown some hands.
Oh, I would have tossed the fucking suitcase right back at his head.
Yeah.
I gave it back and said I won't do it. He was puzzled, asking why. Why? I told him I was tired and I went upstairs to sleep in the bedroom. Moments later, he barged in calling me petty for basically refusing to help him pack just because I wasn't going to. He said, your problem is with my mom, not me. Dude, you don't even know fucking petty till you met one of us.
I have a t-shirt that says that I got all the time in the world to be fucking petty.
Jesus Christ.
This man is aggravating me.
I mean, he thinks she was being petty by not packing and going to bed? petty is me changing the fucking locks when you leave for the fucking wedding? Right? I'm not invited to.
Petty is packing all of your dirty laundry and nothing clean. That's called fucking petty.
Just packing, uh-huh. just packing oh, a yeah. bag full of dildos that you open when you're in the airport.
Yeah, just all dirty underwear, dirty clothes, and everything rolled up in a ball. Here, I packed your fucking suitcase. Okay. Here
honest to God, I'm like sweating. I'm so mad. I don't even know what to
we
say.
We haven't even finished our shit. Dramatic. Okay. Fucking reading.
Sorry, I think we've okay. made it more dramatic than it was gonna be.
Oh my God.
All right, go.
Okay. I told him, why should I prepare his bags? He said, because he's busy and because I always do it. Then I punched him. No, that's yeah, yeah. I said, yes, but why should I do it this time? He said, because of four letters. S-A-H-M.
No, no, no. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Sorry.
And it's essentially part of my household chores. Oh, this misogynistic motherfucker.
Jody's going straight, Jody. Jody's going to show up in the UK.
Excuse me, sir. I have a suitcase for you. I told him off, said I won't do it, end of story, and went back to sleep. He threw a three-minute fit, then walked out, then came back and turned the light on at 3 a.m. To pack, preventing me from sleeping. I told him this was pathetic, and he said he's no match to how petty I am and ignored me when I told him to turn the lights off repeatedly. I also have to say there are some problems in this relationship and in this family
packing.
Dynamic that are much larger than the stay-at-home mom responsibilities, but we will talk about those later, because this is some wild shit.
It's what?
This is some, yeah.
Oh my, okay. Whew. He went to the wedding. Now he's back looking agitated most of the time. And keeping on complaining about the stance I took for not preparing the bags.
Am I the asshole for not preparing the bags?
Am I? I missed that whole thing. Okay. No, you're not. And okay, we wanted to ask, I can't even ask this question seriously, which is also I want to ask if we have the same expectations of stay-at-home dads. The answer is no, because we all know that if a stay-at-home dad packed for a mom to go, it would be fucking lingerie, maybe one sock, one pair of underpants, because apparently that's all they fucking travel with. I mean, they just turn them inside out.
It'd be in a backpack. That's
it'd be in a bag. Yeah. No toothbrush because they don't brush their fucking teeth.
Sometimes they do, but it wouldn't be packed neatly in like a cosmetic bag and a this.
You know, it'd be like in a garbage bag, like, you know, in a hefty.
Rolled up.
Right. Like in a hefty, though, like rolled up in, shoved into a backpack. And would be one of the kids. It'd be one of the kids like mini backpacks.
I'm still stuck on this fucking mother-in-law. This bitch.
I mean, and the sister-in-law. Like, what? You don't not invite your family? What the fuck?
Okay, so here we go.
Oh,
so here's,
my.
So here's
by the way, I have a running list in my head of, like, the things that, if this was going on in my marriage, of the shit I actually would have packed for the wedding, and it's not pretty. Like, as we're talking, that's all I can think of.
I would have been like, oh, you need me to pack your things? I'm going to pack all your motherfucking things, and they're gonna be outside the house when you get home.
Oh, see, I would have been like, weird, it smells like cat poop in your bag. That's so strange. It would have been a baggie of cat turds. There would have been and put in there a tuna fish sandwich, maybe. You know,
yeah.
Like, I would have been a dick.
I would have
dick.
Put in just a lot of things that would get him stopped at TSA.
That's what the dildos are for.
Like,
and the butt
dildos
plugs.
Hidden in things.
Right, right.
Knives.
Yeah. Knives!
I was like, giant knife, a switchblade, like a butterfly one that's illegal, you can't have.
But you got to, like, cut the lining of the bag and, like, slip it in find it. Yeah. Some weed. Let's not forget that.
Right. Well, you know? I mean, obviously, you're going to.
If you're going, go.
So, oh, God,
Jesus.
I'm so worked up. The squirrels are very upset. Okay. So, here's some of our favorite responses than our own.
Right. These are Sabrina's favorite responses. Right. We're just reading them, but holy shit.
Temporary baiter, I don't even know what that means, but temporary baiter, screen name, says, not the asshole. Your husband's been treating you like crap for a long time. A stay-at-home mom with three kids should not be doing 100% of household chores, and packing up your husband's clothes is not a household chore.
Amen.
That's basic taking care of yourself. He's essentially claiming that he's one of the children and you're his mommy too. Also, not inviting you because the wedding is child-free? You're not a child. He doesn't stand up for you to his family and treat you like a maid. It's not a good look. 100%.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Fuck this guy.
Fuck. Asha Sash.
Ash.
Ash 20 says, What is with all these posts about men expecting their significant other to pack their suitcases? Jesus, there was more than one. That falls way outside the realm of a household chore. But if you really wanted to show him what petty was, you could have packed a bunch of mismatched items for him and he could enjoy wearing a bathing suit and a dress shirt to the wedding.
These are my
That's
people.
Right. That's right.
These
that's
are
right.
our people.
Yes. We are with you.
Secret Information 80, love the handle, says stay-at-home mom without chores is still basically an 80-hour-a-week job if you're lucky.
Yep.
There's no regular day off. It's not Monday through Friday, but 7 days a week. And waking up in the middle of the night to do kid stuff doesn't cut hours of work out of the day. It's 16-hour days with on-call shifts for the remaining eight. Again, if you're lucky. I really doubt the self-reported 60-40 split here. Maybe that's true when he's home from work, but I still doubt it. And that's what this person said. I feel like this guy is just a misogynistic twat. That's what I guess.
Twat.
A misogynistic a twat.
I love the word twat.
A twat.
Twat. Short, as always, says, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I only pack my husband's bags when we are sharing a suitcase. He gets his clothes and stuff together, and we both go through it. If he's going alone, not my job. He's a grown man. I don't understand that just because you're home, everything falls on you mentally. Like I said, baby daddy. You're a baby daddy.
By the way, here's Sabrina's favorite and mine as well. Green Coconut says, not the asshole. At least with a divorce, you can go back to raising just three kids instead of four.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Accomplished Sugar 7 says, do you think he gets her to brush his teeth and wipe his ass too? Oh, I like you. How pathetic of him, especially since he had the time to make a list, but he could have just spent with that time actually getting those things together.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that, by the way. So thank you, Accomplished Sugar 7. Now I'm even more fucking mad.
By the way, I just have to say, I love people's Reddit names. They make absolutely
great.
No sense. I have no idea what's going on. They give me zero information or a lot of information, and I'm still confused.
Mm-hmm.
Like Green Coconut, who was like, I'm going to be Green Coconut.
Forever.
Right, on Reddit.
Yeah. Accomplished Sugar. That makes me want to sing Watermelon Sugar, though. So whoever you are, I'm actually a little mad at you because that song sticks in my fucking head for like a month.
I don't even know what that song is. Don't sing it because I don't want to know.
You do,
don't,
right?
No, I don't.
I love that we both are like,
yeah,
no,
you do.
I don't.
Oh, if you ask your kids.
That's okay.
Watermelon sugar. Ha. You've never heard that?
I think I have.
Of
I never
course
heard
she does.
Yes. She see? Uh-huh. Watermelon sugar. Ha.
Okay. Oh, God.
I am a little high. I'm just kidding.
No, you're not. No, you're fucking not.
I'm always a little high.
Yeah, I mean, I would expect nothing less.
It's and for my anxiety. It's better.
Little, I'm always a little spaz.
And you're a little amused by the fact that I'm always a little high because I have to.
It's the best time to deal with you.
that's really what, that's true. What my kids think, too.
Right. Yeah, no. Stay-at-home parents, it is not your job to pack for the other person.
No.
I could not imagine my current fiance. I could not imagine Mescal ever being like, hey, can you pack my bag?
Dustin would yell at me. He'd be like, get the fuck like, out of my doing? House if
like,
I even tried.
Like, what are you doing? Like, why? Like,
yeah, he'd be like, I'm a grown person. You don't need to touch my shit. Right. That's what Dustin would say.
But I can definitely think of people that I know that would have had me do that.
Oh, I can think of the same thing in my life.
Yeah,
yes,
for sure.
That would have had me do that.
Definitely some people.
I will say that, you know, Dustin doesn't listen to this podcast, but if he would allow me to unpack his shit when we get back from trips, I would actually approve of that because otherwise the packed suitcase becomes an obstacle course when I sleep there because he will leave shit packed up in a suitcase for, no joke, months.
Oh, see, my man is amazing at that. And so
I know he is.
And part of the, like, the getting home is unpacking.
Oh, the second I walk in the fucking door, I unpack, I do laundry. That is the end. That's what I do.
Can I have my kids pack my bags?
Oh, I don't think you want to do that. Do you want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in your underpants? Because if you want that, then yes.
Right.
I would, you know what? That's actually something we should do. We should see everyone out there and we'll do it too. Let's put a suitcase down and ask our kids to pack a bag. What would, if you had to pack for me for a weekend away, what would you pack? I feel like that's a good experiment and we should ask our children. I don't even know what would happen.
Zoe has to pack right now because she's going on her big eighth grade trip to the East Coast.
Oh, that's fun.
For 10 days.
You better check that bag though.
I was like, please do not make me or your dad have to fly out and come get you and fly you home. I'm not playing that game. And I don't think she will.
She won't, but you should definitely look, look at outfits. Just saying.
Oh, there's a dress code.
Oh,
there's
thank
a
God.
Dress code. Yeah. Which she's like, oh man. I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. It's still a school event, my friend. Anyway, back to our topic. Yeah, just because
there's a dress code in New York too. It's called cuckoo.
Right. Just because you stay at home does mm-hmm. not mean that you have to do everything for everyone that resides in the home.
Nor should you. No. That is a great recipe for a fucking divorce. No joke. I mean, it is. That's where the, sure, resentment builds up. Yeah. And you're like, at some point, you're just going to look at your significant other and be like, so, you know what? I hate you.
Okay. So that's pretty obvious. How? What are some ways to have a conversation about dividing up the work? You're a therapist. Tell us.
Ugh, I was just going to say, now I got to be a therapist.
Well, that's part of why you're here.
I know. You got to use your feeling statements. I mean, honestly, that when I work,
a feeling statement,
when I work with couples, what I would say is, you know, if they're like, am I the asshole? The question is really, does he feel that you're the asshole? And are you actually feeling you're the asshole? In this case, you can tell that she doesn't feel like she actually is the asshole. She felt justified, and I agree with you. Although if I was your therapist, I couldn't say that. I would say you should sit down with your spouse and say, I'm feeling as though more of the responsibility is falling on me to do a lot more around the house than it is on you. I'm also feeling like you are expecting me to do things for you like I would do for the kids. And my issue here is that you're not one of the kids. And that leaves me feeling very resentful.
Why
I don't
do I
want
feel like
that.
You're telling me this?
Right. I don't. That's what you have to do. Right. And I don't want to feel resentful. I don't want things to build up. That's right. Where, you know, that resentment is a cancer in relationships.
It's kind of a cancer in everything.
Well,
if
yes.
You live with, and you know,
any relationship, any relationship,
12 step and everything, like, really is amazing how resentment can just eat away at your,
it does,
and particularly if you are living with the person, it,
yes, absolutely,
just fucking, that's it.
And I think also, you know, when you're in a relationship, I can't even say it's just women, though I see women struggle with it more, but I think in any relationship, you know, there's a tends to be at least one person in the relationship that isn't necessarily that great about saying what they feel, like they don't use feeling statements, and they'll be like, and especially when you're the stay-at-home parent, I think it's become so like, but this is my job, because you don't have a fucking job description.
Right.
And so then you're like, well, now I feel badly. If he's going to say I make money and you're supposed to do this, that's a weird dynamic.
Right.
You know, like that is a maid dynamic. That is, then you're like, great. So am I having sex with you because you're making money too? That you don't want to throw that out there to people, you know, in that relationship.
That sex is an option for payment for house chores?
That if you're,
is that what you're saying?
No, look. Asshole. Now you are the asshole. No. That if they're
that's
the working,
how I learned that statement was, no, like, don't even give them the option. Like, look, I'll suck your dick, but I'm not doing the dishes. You know what I mean? Sabrina is leaning over.
She's gonna. First of all, I 100% would do that just to get out of doing dishes, just as a heads up. But
Sabrina got a heads up.
Heads up.
Okay. God, this episode.
I know. As we said, you know, we were like, we're going to stay on course. See, and I said, no, we won't. And we didn't. You're welcome. No, what I meant was, if you can say you're supposed to pack my bags because I make more money, where do you draw the line?
Right.
Then
right,
it's right. Like, oh, you have to have sex with me tonight. I make the money. Like, that's not right. Cool. And there are men partners that say that.
Yes.
Like there
and
are.
I also think what's really helpful is sitting down, whether it's with a therapist or with each other, in a mm-hmm. calm moment, mm-hmm. not in a moment when you need the other person to do something, or when this, you know, craziness is happening and you're like, you never and you
right,
always.
Right, right. Yeah, don't use always. Never and always.
No, the word, it's, that's it's the
don't talk in absolutes.
Killer.
Yep.
But to sit down and have both of you separately write down the things that you think you are responsible for.
Yes.
And the things you think the other person is responsible for. Then you come right. together and you compare those lists and you go, oh, so you think I'm supposed to be doing all of this, but I thought you were supposed to be doing like three of those things. Because that's the thing, is expectation is a fucking relationship killer.
You once said that to me in the beginning of my relationship with Dustin. Yeah. And I was like, that's one of, no one had ever said that to me before. And it's so fucking smart.
It's
and
true.
It's so
expectation,
true.
Because often expectation isn't expressed. It's expected
right.
in our own heads. And when the other person doesn't meet those expectations, we, at least this is what I do, or did, was play, you know, silent emotional
hangman. Hangman, yep.
Where I would
you've
be
said
like,
that to
oh,
me too.
Oh, I thought you were going to do this. Okay, well, there's a head.
Right.
And like, if I'm nice, I'll
you back
give you
pocket
bracelets
it.
And a fucking hat and, you know, yep. I'll do some stuff. But eventually, like, you're losing a game that you don't even know you're playing.
Right.
And that is, it's the worst space to live in because your needs aren't being met. The other person has no idea. And you're just living in resentment and frustration. So I think really sitting down and doing it like separately on your own, not having the other person hover over you, but really sit down and say, what do I do? What does the other person do? And then you guys both come
compromise,
together.
Because
I think you'll be shocked at sometimes the opposing viewpoints.
Right, right.
And if you can come to an agreement on X, Y, and Z, and writing things down is super helpful because when it's all up here in your head.
Yeah, you say the wrong things. Well, I say that a lot.
You say the wrong things. You don't think of something. You know, or you say something, whatever. Write that shit down. Sit, compare it, talk about it, and then come up with a final list of, okay, let's agree that you're responsible on, you know, okay, maybe on the weekends, you get up with the kids.
Right.
Or one weekend, you get up with the kids, I get to sleep in, and you make them breakfast, and you do all the stuff, I get to sleep till whenever I want, or I just have 2 hours, 3 hours of free time.
Yeah.
Where I can sit in my room, I can read a book.
And go to the gym, I can do whatever.
Mm-hmm. Like, those things are really important to have conversations about. And, you know, I'm incredibly fortunate now to be in a relationship with someone who communicates really well and who also just kind of steps up on their own. We almost don't even have to communicate about it sometimes because we just kind of fill in what the other person needs. And that is not always the case.
Also, you guys don't have kids together. And that is
a huge, I think that is honestly a huge portion to the success of our relationship.
I think the same about mine.
Is that I have my kids. He helps. Mm-hmm. He does stuff. He shows up for them. He shows up to their soccer games. He takes them places. Mm-hmm. He does all this stuff. But at the end of the day, he's like, and I was reading about this recently about, you know, that it's knowing that boundary of like, okay, this is where I step back and you do things.
This is where a step parent can be
so
okay
much
and
less
not.
Conflict. Yep. You know, for stay-at-home parents and working parents, like, you guys really make sure you have those conversations. They might feel awkward. Even if you don't think there's tension going on currently, have that as a plan.
Well, like, remember what I said in another episode is like you have to have conflict to get change.
Right.
You have to.
Nobody changes when they're conflict.
Right. You have to have a confrontation, not conflict. You have to have a confrontation.
Or if you just think like, oh, this is kind of going along the way it's supposed to, but like, you know what? Let's just make sure that we're
check
really
in.
Clear.
Yeah.
Being really clear on what each of you is expected to do in the house, kids too. And I'll be honest, I fail at that a lot of the time because I'm like, why didn't you do this? And they're like, I don't know. I didn't think I was supposed to. I get that. But it's really, really helpful to just have that communication and be like, okay, babe, this is what I'm going to do. I'll make sure that this is done. Can you make sure that this is done? I'll cook the dinner. Can you do the shopping on the way home?
Yeah, or you do the dishes or, you know, we switch off with
that. Stuff. It's super helpful. So if you find yourself that you are having some resentment or some conflict and some stress between, you know, stay at home and working parent, have that conversation, have that communication, write it down, compare the lists, and do it in a moment when you both can be calm and relaxed and you're not stressed out with kids or whatever. Like, that's really the place and time and emotion that you come into a conversation with is key. You will either get good results or bad results depending on where you are.
Well, but you at least get information either way of what you have in front of you. I also will say that two things. Don't react in the moment, like, because a lot of the times when you're feeling hurt, obviously hurt people.
Right.
So be cautious there. Right. You can walk away. You can take a minute. You can turn to your spouse when they say something like that's upsetting and say, I have to walk away from this conversation for a second. Give me a minute. I have to process what is going on here and then come back. And one thing I also always say to people and couples that I work with is, you know, you got 2 weeks. Don't let something fester for more than 2 weeks. Get over it. And if you really can let it go, let it go. That's fine. I mean, sometimes
we
can.
You see your part in it and you're like, that's ridiculous. I can't believe I did that.
Right.
Let it go.
Let it go. Or if it's like, if it's bugging you, you know, a week to 2 weeks, you hit about 2 weeks, you got to speak now or forever hold your peace. You don't get to bring things back up 2 months later and say, well, remember when you asked me to pack for you, you know, to go to your wedding that I wasn't involved. I don't want to go. You know, you can't do that. That's back pocketing something. That is emotional hangman, like Jody said. And that leads to a shit ton of resentment and fights because they won't hear you. What all they're going to hear is that you've been mad at them for 2 goddamn months and be like, why didn't you say it then?
So, Celia, I have something.
Oh, shut up. I knew that was coming.
Well, I hope that we've actually offered some decent advice, some support, and also fuck that dude.
And
in
fuck
the UK.
That dude. God.
Yeah, that's really. Mm-hmm. That
some ways
me.
To get even. We gave some ways to get even.
We
that was new.
Petty. you know, petty ideas, always a plus. Anyway, you guys, thank you so much for going on this wild ride of a show with us. Let's play our grateful as fuck game.
I swear to God, if I get like a blowjob card, I'm going to die.
What am I?
I'm scared.
Just pick a card.
She was like, it's a fucking card. It's like it was a bomb.
Okay. Pangolins.
Aww.
I do love pangolins. They're weird little creatures. Pangolins are the only mammal with scales. And these fuckers don't just have scales. They have razor sharp scales and tongues that can be twice as long as their bodies. Also, their faces look like medieval knights who got their feelings hurt. If you ever doubt that the world is a weird and wonderful place, Google pangolins. You won't be disappointed. Not penguins. Pangolins. P-A-N-G-O-L-I-N-S. And it's true. They are strangely remarkable little creatures. And they make me grateful for weird things in the world.
Like I feel you. Like I've been to... thanks. I feel like I've been described as someone with a razor sharp tongue that can...
Well, no, not the tongue is razor sharp. The tongue is twice the size of the body and they have razor sharp
scales.
That
too. That too.
Wow.
Oh, foster parents.
Yeah.
I just met two different foster parents this week and oh my God, they were so amazing. Yeah. And I had such a good time talking to them. Yeah. And,
good foster parents. The kind
that, I mean, really, like it's a hard job and I'm so grateful. Sometimes it's good to think about those people who foster and adopt kids that no one else is showing up for. Yeah. Like just stop for a second and acknowledge that there are two men in Montana who've adopted 10 autistic kids to raise them on a farm with goats and chickens and open meadows and shit. The world is full of assholes. Oh, see, and we read about one today. But they're not you, sweetheart, your husband. And they're but there are a big, bright light human beings doing incredibly good shit out there.
Yeah. That one made me super grateful.
Yeah. No, I was at a party with Dustin this weekend when we were away and I met a couple of new people and two families were there that were foster parents and one who was there, we had a bunch of friends in common with, which was kind of crazy as sometimes happens. And she had her foster son and oh my God, he was the cutest, 5.5 years old. We played cards together and she was just a dream. And she was like, it just didn't work out for me. And I decided to foster. She had him since he was like, what did she say? 5 days old. He was preemie. He was five. He was 3 pounds, 3.5 pounds when he was born.
Right.
She could hold his entire body in her palm.
Oh,
I mean,
look, foster parents, adoption, all of that is incredibly important. Let's not forget two men in Montana adopted 10 autistic kids. So fucking more power to you. Yet one more reason why I fully support same-sex adoptions as well.
Oh, God, totally.
Because I know there are a lot of foster parents and adoptive parents in the LGBTQIA plus community that do some amazing, amazing work with kids. And they're, you know, obviously regular straight parents.
Yes,
too,
yes.
Foster parents in general, but
single parents who decide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're all kicking ass and we're super grateful for you.
Yeah, because this shit ain't easy. Like in any way.
And also... pangolins.
And pangolins.
Okay, you guys, thank you so much for joining us on this week's show. Remember, you can also find us on our YouTube channel, which is Never Thought I'd Say This. You can find us at Never Thought I'd Say This on Instagram.
Yep.
Now that Elon Musk has bought Twitter, we might say fuck Twitter, so we're not even going to give you that.
Never really knew how to use it anyway.
Right, yeah, exactly. And then you can email us at neverthoughtid@protonmail.com. You can follow me at Jody Sweeten across all socials.
You can follow me at the Celia Behar on Instagram. And I guess Twitter, but maybe not.
Anyway, thank you guys so much for taking this ride with us. And here's to all the working parents, the stay-at-home parents,
foster parents,
single parents, foster parents. Man, raising kids isn't easy. So you guys are killing it. And remember, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids
or your husband.
Never Thought I'd Say This with Jody Sweeten and Celia Behar is an Audio Boom original.